What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of She Or They with Kittens. I'm Kittens, and today I've got G-Flip on with me. G-Flip's an incredible drummer, singer, artist that is just honestly so, so impressive. They are non-binary, and you might also know them because they're dating Chrishell from Selling Sunset, which is just like a fun little random thing we're gonna get into. But I'm really excited to have G on today because I think they are really, really, really important and powerful in how they represent and share their art and support the queer community as a non-binary artist. Today's episode, we're gonna get into all kinds of good stuff with G-Flip around mental health, identity, non-binary identity, how to support your community, all the great stuff that they're doing around that, projects they have to come, music, what they want their legacy to be, fun creative stuff. Obviously, we're gonna get into relationship stuff too, as we do. But before we do that, make sure you go like and subscribe on all the platforms here, you know, push all the buttons, do that. Find us on Instagram at SheHerThey, or mine is at IamKittens, obviously. And yeah, so let's just jump. Let's just scoot. Let's cartwheel right into today's episode of G-Flip.
Hey. What's going on?
Welcome. I'm so glad we were able to make this happen. I feel like I caught you like right before you're going to be MIA for a long time. So I'm psyched.
No, it's awesome to be here. And yeah, I'm stoked to be on this. I've watched a lot of the other She, Her, They podcast videos things. So I'm stoked to be your next guest.
Yeah, same. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody who might not know who they're tuning into? Give us your name, what you do, how you identify, pronouns, the whole spiel.
What's up? My name's G Flip. I'm from Melbourne, Australia, but I now live in LA. I use they, them pronouns. I'm non-binary, and I'm a singer-drummer. That is who I am.
Woo! Singer-drummer and with a broken hand. I don't know how that works. Actually, how does that work? Are you doing shows with, are you playing drums with a broken hand?
Well, I did play, I had three shows over the weekend. So actually, there were three Pride shows in Houston, Oklahoma Pride, and Chicago Pride show. And I'm just going to tell you the story of how I broke it because I think that needs to be told. Yeah, me and the band had the Houston show. So, and that was on Thursday night. So we flew in on Wednesday and we flew in and we got in at like 7:30 p.m. So we went out to dinner and then we went to a bar and they had a pool table, so we were playing pool. Then they had a foosball table, so we were playing foosball.
Obviously.
And then they had this, like, game in the corner that was a punching bag. And I punched it really hard and I got, like, a 6 score. And then I was like, nah, I can do better. So then I punched it so hard and I broke my hand in the process.
Oh my God.
So then I was trying to be tough and I was like, nah, I don't need to go to the hospital. But my hand was broken. And I knew straight away, I was like, oh yeah, broke my hand. And then I was like, nah, I don't need to go to the hospital. I'll just go tomorrow, like whatever. And then I got to my hotel and then I was like, wow, yeah, this hurts. This seems broken. And then I FaceTimed Chrishell. And then Chrishell was like, baby, you need to go to the hospital. And then I was like, okay, I need to go to the hospital. So then I went to the hospital. And then I was there for ages. And then I made friends with the nurses there. They were so fun. And then when I went and got an x-ray, after I got the x-ray, I was waiting in the waiting room and these two nurses come up to me and they're like, we've got really good news. And I was like, yes, what's the good news? And they're like, you met us. Bad news, you broke your hand. And I was like, no.
Oh, no. So how long are you stuck like that?
I'm stuck like this for 6 weeks.
Oh, woof. God.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. It's awful timing.
Yeah.
Jeez. So are you like playing drums with one hand?
So then 6 hours later I was on stage in Houston. So I just played the show one-handed. And there's some videos of me in the hospital waiting room trying to learn how to play my songs, like air drumming, how to do all my drum solos one-handed. So we only cut out like two parts, but the rest of it I can kind of hold down with one hand. But this is like my left hand, so I broke my right hand, which is my dominant hand. No. So not the best, but the shows went off. The shows were wild, and I had my little chicken wing sling on, and I'm running around.
I saw videos. I'm like, damn, respect.
It was still sick. And then I still got shows coming up in Australia that I'm flying home to, and I'm going to do them all one-handed. So, yeah, it's fun.
Well, damn, good for you to, like, keep going. It's probably going to be a great learning experience that'll give you some other extra skills down the road and make you ambidextrous.
I'm into it. I'm cool with it. I'm like, it's going to make my left hand so good at drums and like just everything. So I'm like, not the only thing I don't like is like this can get uncomfortable. But other than that, I'm like, you know, it's going to make my drumming really strong on this hand. And it's like I've learned how to tie my shoelaces with one hand. Can tie my hair up with one hand, so I'm learning how to do stuff one-handed, and it's cool.
That's useful. Useful skills, for sure, for sure. So you have a single called Waste of Space and a video that our friend Naz directed, and I'm just, like, psyched on it. Can you tell me a little bit about, like, the inspiration and the meaning behind all of that?
Yeah, I guess this is probably one of my most like deep and personal songs that I've ever written and I've ever put out. It's basically a song about me coming to terms with gender identity as a kid and being confused as a kid and not, you know, I never understood what being non-binary was when I was like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Like, you know, growing up, you know, the word non-binary wasn't around. So being confused with my gender identity as a child and not understanding it and not feeling like I fit in. And there's like a clear story in my brain when I think about my journey of being non-binary and like one of my first memories where it's really clear to me that, oh, yes, I am non-binary was when I was a kid, I'd wear the boys' uniform to school and I had short hair and I wore like the trousers and stuff. And I'd hang out with my crew of boys and we'd play footy and Pokemon cards and like roll in the dirt or do whatever we do. And then one day I came to school and they realized I was a girl, so they said I couldn't play with them anymore. So then in my little boys' uniform, I've walked over to the girls in dresses in the female uniform and they wouldn't let me play with them either because I was in the boys' uniform and I was a boy. So then I was left in the middle of this binary and they'd tease me and call me a waste of space because that was like the insult when you're like 7 or 8 years old. And that's always such a clear story when I think of, you know, my journey and discovering that and realizing that I'm non-binary. So, I wrote this song called Waste of Space. It's about gender identity and it was really moving making this beautiful music video with Naz, our friend. And I used 20 non-binary humans. We all got together and we made this really beautiful piece of content, which I'm so excited to share with everyone. And it was so emotional on set. Like everyone was crying. Like everyone was cheering each other on when we did all our solo scenes. And it was one of the most touching and moving pieces of art that I think I'll ever be a part of, so I can't wait for everyone to see it.
It seems like that was probably such a validating experience to have that space for everyone who totally sees and understands each other, and like to have that moment to really shine the light on people who are largely just like underlooked. Is that a word? Overlooked? What am I talking about? Overlooked. Like we weren't having these conversations 5 years ago. We weren't having these conversations. So have a little like 6-year-old kid stumble across this and be like, oh my God, that's me. Like that's me. And look at all these people that are like me or have the freedom to just be themselves. Yeah. Like, that's really beautiful.
I feel like the core crew that put this music video together, Ash, Naz and Olive, like they all identify as non-binary as well. So there was a lot of like passion going into this production and music video. And I think for all of us, we didn't have representation when we were kids. So, and that's very much a big part of my project is I never had representation. Yeah. I was watching, like, I wanted to be a musician and sing and play drums and, or maybe be a solo artist or whatever. But I was looking up, you know, like the Pussycat Dolls and like Shakira and Beyonce and like, you know, that wasn't me because I was like, that just wasn't who I was.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of my project is I want to fill the shoes and fill that spot that I never had as a kid. And I know that if I had an artist like me who's singing a song about feeling like they're not a boy nor a girl and they're somewhere in between, like that would have absolutely changed my life and would have lightened the darker voices that I had in my head growing up being so confused with my gender identity.
Yeah, having that representation is just, it's so important. And it's kind of interesting when your whole world, like, we're part of the queer community. And like, I have so many friends that are just all over the gender spectrum and the queer spectrum. And it's such a shock when you remember that most of the world doesn't really like get it still, even though like our lives are so immersed in it. So it's like, there's never enough representation. There's never enough content out there that, you know, shows these diverse and expansive identities. Like this shit changes people's lives. Anyways, so I know like you are really, like you really prioritize having a mostly queer and gender nonconforming like team crew on everything you work on, which I think is cool. So how do you go about finding people to fill all these roles, number one? And also, how do you feel like having a largely queer, diverse team on whatever you're working on, how do you feel like that influences the outcome of the project?
Yeah, it's definitely something that's like very, very important to me. Like, obviously a lot of like cis men are in these industries, music industry, film industries. You know, they're the ones behind the camera, behind the mixing desks. Like, if you look at the stats, you know, these jobs are filled mostly by men. And, you know, I think about this music video I just made about being non-binary and telling that story. And, like, I couldn't have, like, told that story or brought, like, that passionate art and, like, this amazing, like, music video to the world if it wasn't for the crew. And all the crew are non-binary, so they get it. So it's, they get what I've gone through. We have similar stories. And really, music is just like telling stories. Like, you know, it's, I'm writing lyrics and it's like stories from my life that I'm sharing. So, you know, for me, I love having, you know, people that I identify with and who understand and who've gone through similar struggles around me, because it's just authentic and it makes the art more authentic and I don't have to explain myself, and it just makes everything easier and just like more pure. And they're just like the teams that I work with, and especially Naz and Naz's whole production crew and everyone around Naz are just such beautiful, beautiful humans. And it just makes the whole experience of making art, especially queer art or gender nonconforming art, just so much easier, because, you know, there's no explaining. Like, I'm sure, like,
yeah, like they just get you.
Yeah, they get it.
Like recently I'll walk on set and find out that they hired almost exclusively queer women, and I'm like, oh my god, the photographer's not a dude. Like, and I just automatically, the stylist, not like a dude or a straight anyone. Like, and I just automatically am like, oh, I don't have to explain what makes me uncomfortable. And like, I don't feel like I'm being viewed through this cis male gaze. Like, it's just so much more comfortable. And just, I feel like with any kind of story sharing and creation, it's just like, it's night and day having people that identify with you and get you. I think the first time I heard of you was because of the track with Lauren Sanderson, who has an episode of this show. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. Which, so sick. Gay for Me is so hard. Like, that shit's fucking fire. How did you guys get linked up?
Lauren. Lauren motherfucking Sanderson. All right. Lauren actually just texted me. So me and Lauren met not too long ago. Actually, last year in November or December. But I don't know. Me and Lauren are like, we were like meant to be in each other's lives. The first day we met, we were wearing the same thing. We were wearing the exact same clothes. And not just like a white t-shirt and blue jeans. We were both wearing black pants with like splattered like paint and drawings all over them. And both wearing red tops with like all these like lines on them. And we were just like, what is going on? Like, we're wearing
this. Like, oddly specific.
Yeah, oddly specific. And we're the exact same height. And like, we actually have, so the first day we met is actually when we tracked Gay For Me. So had found Lauren while I was in quarantine in Melbourne, Australia. Mm-hmm. In August last year, I came across Lauren Sanderson like on TikTok, and I was like, oh, that person looks rad. We'd probably be friends. And then I started listening to Lauren's music just in my little apartment in lockdown, and I was like, this stuff is sick. And then I went and had a shower, and I just went about my day. And a process I have with writing songs is I normally just like put voice memos on when I'm walking around my house, if I'm having a shower, if I'm doing something. Because I always sing out loud if I'm like home alone, mm-hmm. and I always come up with song ideas, and most of my song ideas end up coming from me just singing out loud. So I was in the shower after listening to lots of Lauren Sanderson. I had a shower, and then I was just singing, and then I was just singing melodies, which ended up, and lyrics, which ended up being the very first verse of Gay For Me.
Oh, wow.
So I can look back in my phone, I've got like, them and I'm beating me, and I'm beatboxing, going, and I'm like beatboxing that, and I put it in my phone. And then, anyway, so that's August, and then it comes to September, and when I came over to LA to do sessions, I worked with a guy called Pink Slip, who's worked with Lauren before, because I looked up some of Lauren's credits and was like, who's some people that Lauren's worked with? Who's some people that Roy the Serpent has worked with? Who are some people that these people have worked with? I found Pink Slip. So I was working with Pink Slip, and like the tempo was like reminding me of that thing that I sang in the shower after listening to Lauren Sanderson. So then I brought up my voice memo, and then we built a song around my voice memo melodies that I sang. So then I had this song called Gay For Me. And then I was sitting with Naz, who's my creative director, and I showed Naz the song, and Naz just turns around to me and says, you know who you need on this song? Lauren Sanderson. And I was like, whoa, oh my God. That's creepy and weird, because like, and look, and like Lauren, I haven't like messaged Lauren. Lauren doesn't know who I am. Hmm. Yeah. So then Naz said that, and then I'm like to Naz, that's so weird, because I actually like wrote this song subconsciously after listening to a heap of Lauren Sanderson songs. So anyway, then me and Naz just started calling and messaging Lauren and being like, Lauren, like, hi, I'm G. I've got this song. It's really good. You should be on it with me. I know you don't know who I am. And so then then Lauren was like, who produced it? And then I'm like, Pink Slip. And Lauren's like, okay, I'll be on it. Like, but you've been hearing it from the phone.
And then, wow.
And then a week later, Lauren came to my house so I could track her vocals. And that's when she rocked up to the front door, and I'll never forget this moment. I open up the gate and we have a big hug, and then we look back and we're like wearing the exact same thing. And then we recorded footage of us hanging out for the very first day of us like hanging out, and there's videos, and we're standing next to each other, but we drink at the same time, and we start dancing, and we're like in sync, and it's just so funny. And now Lauren is one of my best friends in the whole entire world. And we talk and FaceTime each other every day, and Yeah, Lauren is, yeah, my favorite person and like one of my closest, dearest friends that I ever have. And I love the absolute shit out of that human. Oh, she's
You guys
best.
Are like little soul twins. That's so cute.
Full. I don't know what life would be like without Lauren in it. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? What was I doing before? What the hell?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's wow. So funny.
I feel like that's going to, I'm going to run into you somewhere and you're going to have a Lauren Sanderson tattoo. I just feel it. Actually, I'm going to, that's a segue because obviously I have to ask you about your relationship because like so many interesting facets here. But the first time we met in person, I'm at Jumbo's and then I see you and Chriselle walk in, which if you guys don't know what Jumbo's is, it's a strip club, like dive bar strip club. And you guys walk in and I feel like it was like the day after like everything went public, which is just wild. And so I'm so curious because like I dated somebody who was kind of in the public eye and like shit got blown up and it was terrifying for me. It was like really overwhelming. So, and mine wasn't anywhere near as public as yours. So how the hell, like, how did you feel with this huge influx of a largely cis hetero audience suddenly, you know, being thrust in front of them, people who don't know what the hell it means to be non-binary, let alone be very like understanding and accepting of queer relationships. Like, how did you feel with that? Were you nervous, like knowing that was coming up? How did you deal with like feedback? Like, tell me everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a pretty like chill person and I'm not someone that goes too deep into like reading comments and like I kind of like view, I don't take comments to heart too much because I just think like if someone writes that, like I actually feel bad for them because like what are they going through that they have the time to like write hate? Like they must be so insecure about themselves and like have been through like a tough life or tough things to like project so much hate and stuff just behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
So when I think about it, I'm like, oh God, like poor souls. Like, because if you're happy, secure in yourself and like have good stuff going on, you don't have time to get online and like start throwing hate and shade at people's ways. So, but I dealt with it fine. And I think, you know, me and Chriselle, like we're such a team and a unit. So we had each other through the whole thing to, you know, talk about it. And I'm so proud with Chriselle and how she's handled everything and how.
Like such grace.
Like, such grace. She's such a boss. Like she's just like a boss and how she talks about, you know, and she tries to educate people on what it is to be non-binary and educate the world. And yes, her audience is definitely more cis-hetero. And definitely with a lot of the headlines saying like, Chriselle dating non-binary artists, like the non-binary word definitely has sparked a lot of conversations and well-needed conversations that I think the world needs to have, especially the cis hetero like fan base need to have and educate themselves on what it is to be non-binary. And I think for me it's like it's the biggest thing is like it wasn't really a shock, but it was like, oh, wow, the amount of, like, hate comments that got thrown my way and the amount of comments that were like, you've got a vagina, you're a girl, like, there's no such thing as being non-binary.
People get so angry about it.
Yeah.
Like, in general, they get so angry about, like, trans and non-binary identities. And I'm like, what's your fucking damage? Like, why are you so worked up over this? It's just wild.
Yeah, people are fully hectic. So that's like out of the whole situation, that was the thing that came to the surface the most for me is like how the world doesn't understand what being non-binary is. And when I came out in Australia, I got it was so much positive messages and like so much love. So it was just a different experience over here, people getting introduced to me as a non-binary artist. was filled with so much like rejection and hate and bad comments and bad DMs, and it's still coming every day. But in the end, I think like me existing as a human and being non-binary and like being brave and not afraid of all of that bullshit, like, is educating the world. And, you know, maybe that cis hetero fucking mother, father, parent who's so against me being non-binary, they could have a kid that's watching the music video that is sitting there confused and feels like they're part of the LGBTQIA plus community or feel like gender fluid, and at least they have me to look at on the TV. Because when I had those thoughts as a kid and I was looking at the TV or searching for some media to find an outlet to feel seen, to feel like my feelings are valid if it was for someone of the same sex, to just to feel seen through media, mm-hmm. I think that's such an important part and such a big part of everyone's coming out stories, you know?
Totally.
So, and I just think for, although it was greeted with lots of hate, I'm someone that is quite positive. So I'm like, hey, I hit all this hate, but I can take that if I'm like educating the world on what it is to be non-binary.
Right. Like you're fulfilling a purpose.
Yeah. And I just, throughout the whole thing, I just wanted to make sure Chriselle was okay. So just always checking up, you know, because she got hit with a lot of stuff and a lot of comments and a lot of people saying shit that's like
wild.
So I just, through the whole thing, I just kept checking up to make sure, like, you okay, baby? We good? Yeah. Like everything. And I just took it like a boss. She's such a champion. She's, yeah.
That's like, that's so brave. Like for somebody in her space, like there's, you know, being in music, being an artist, being, you know, openly in these realms that are a bit more filled with people who are open-minded or a bit more alternative lifestyle-y, it's a little easier to just be yourself in general. Even if you're coming to terms with it and like still scared about, you know, being authentic, it's a little bit easier and more comfortable to make that transition into like openly being yourself. But unfortunately, on a mass scale, like the mainstream, especially in the US, is still largely a bunch of like uneducated, bigoted, hateful people. So for her to just be like, this is me, is fucking brave. Like,
it's respect. So brave. That's, I'm like, I think it's world, like, change, world changing, like, changes the world. Like, how, so I admire her so much. And yeah, she's just a boss. And most people would, you know, might shy away from that or sharing like their relationship details and who they're dating because they're scared of the backlash they're going to get. Yeah. But she's
armored up and went for it.
Yeah. She's so awesome.
So what kind of, I mean, you've overcome a bunch of obstacles in life and trying to figure out who you are and, you know, being open and exploring your identity as an artist, as, you know, your gender, your sexuality, like all the things. There's just always such a long journey for us to get where we are, and then there's more to go. But what kind of obstacles have you hit along the way in any of your journeys, and how have you overcome them, whether it's insecurities or self-doubt or hatred, whatever? Like, how do you deal?
How do I deal? I think a lot of it's like healthy living, to have a healthy brain. Like, for me, if I get a lot of anxiety or I get too stressed or overthinking too much, normally it's when I'm not really exercising, I'm not drinking that much water, I'm not eating that much, you know, I'm going out too often. So like self-care is such a big, big part of having like a healthy lifestyle and a healthy brain. I like going for walks. I've been slacking recently, but I broke my hand, so that's my excuse.
That's a good excuse. Yeah, that's a good excuse.
Yeah, it just like gets so gross, and like this is a new cast that I got today, but beforehand it gets like sweaty and disgusting and it's so hot. So I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to walk around and then have this manky hand.
Oh no.
Anyway, yeah, healthy living and surrounding yourself with good people, like decent humans that actually care mm-hmm. about you. I feel like in LA, everyone's a little bit fake and like trying to be someone or like,
I don't know. I do have to say, like
a bit of fake,
I'm an LA native. I'm born and raised here. So I have to say the people who are from LA aren't like that. It's the people who are coming here from wherever the fuck to like make it, who have this big dream, that get caught up in the fake, you know, putting on a mask, putting on a facade. There is that.
It's all them. Well, those motherfuckers, you can just kind of tell that they're not, I don't know, they're just like not being real and like being too, trying a bit too hard or something. So those people, like, they're not the best to surround yourself with because they're, Who is the real human? You don't know. So surrounding yourself with real human beings that like will take care of you with you while you take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then just like getting vitamin D and going for
health. Health. Just straight up health. Health vibes. Like if you're having a day, you're having a hard day, whether you're just feeling down on yourself or whatever. And maybe the walks and like nature and health aren't helping. Do you have any go-to tools? Like, do you meditate? Are you like a journaling person? Do you have watch a comfortable movie, like a cozy movie that you love? Anything like that that just immediately kind of resets your vibe?
Definitely music can reset my vibe. Just listening to anything that can change your mood. Well, for me, all my friends are back home in Australia. So, like, doing a FaceTime mm-hmm. with, you know, one of my besties, talking to someone that gets me in a good mood. So, calling someone, listening to music. Definitely, like, I've had those days where you just, like, lie in bed and you're, like, sad as fuck and you just don't feel like moving or doing mm-hmm. anything. And it's so hard to get up. You just got to get the fuck up. You just got to get up and you got to get outside. Go outside for a bit. Maybe sit in the breeze and like, oh, also, because I can't really drive now because of my hand, but like the beach, I've always grown up near the ocean. So going to the beach, just like basking in that sand and water and just like watching the mm-hmm. ocean. There's something healing.
There is, and I'm surprised that there needs to be some kind of scientific research on this because it's a thing. Like it's a thing. I don't know if it's like the ions from the ocean.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but something happens. It's very, very, very helpful. It's very helpful. Yeah.
It's a vibe.
What would you say mm-hmm. if you had like your top goals for career, personal life? And like mental, spiritual, you know, inner self. What are your goals for each three?
Okay, career. I want to fill the shoes that I never had when I was growing up and be a voice for the non-binary community and queer community. And also fill the space as a solo artist, like singer, drummer. There hasn't really been. There's Anderson .Paak plays drums and sings. There was Phil mm-hmm. Collins that sung and played drums, but solo artist wise, there hasn't really been someone that's female or non-binary that's a solo artist that's singing mm-hmm. drummer. And I'd love to like fully fill that space, and then use my platform for good and. Use my platform so that, you know, people who are growing up queer, feeling like they don't fit within the binary, they have, you know, my project to look to and feel less alone. So that's my one for career.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now personal. And that's a great one, by the way. Like, it is kind of shocking that there aren't more, like, singer-drummer hybrids. Like, it's kind of tricky. Yeah.
It is trippy. Okay. Personal? Personally, I just want to be able to live this crazy life and do these crazy things I want to do and still be happy at the end. Because I feel like with a career in the public eye, when you live a life where you are, there's no consistency. Like for anyone that is a touring musician and lives life in like the media world, there's no consistency. You wake up at different times every day. You're in different time zones. Your body's having to deal with like 4 hours sleep one night, and then you've got like 8 hours the next day, and then 2 hours the next day, and you go on all these parties and meeting all these people. You meet that many fucking people, and it's hard. And then it's to keep sane and live your dream, like making music and touring relentlessly, and the scrutiny and the backlash you can get at some points, to at the end of the day be like, fuck, like I'm still stoked and happy about it, and it didn't like take me off the rails too much, to end my career being healthy, what, like healthy body wise physically healthy, and mentally happy and healthy. I think that's personally what I'd want to get.
I mean, that's a huge, huge thing. It's like we see this time and time again, like the biggest artists, the biggest entertainers of our time, what, even across all arts, whether they're like painters or actors or whatever, it's like the biggest ones are the most miserable. And it's it gets so dangerous because it is so hard to find that balance and stay grounded. And I think people get caught up looking like, I want to do that. I want to be like, you know, so-and-so someday. And it's like, man, it's not easy. So it's a good goal to have for sure. For sure. Would you say that you want, like, I feel like that encompassed your like mental spiritual thing as well, but would you say like you want your legacy to be that you were a non-binary artist that filled the shoes that you didn't have when you were younger? Would you say you want that to be your legacy, or do you have something else in mind?
My legacy. Definitely. Well, I want to educate the world on what being non-binary is, and I feel like that's a new fire that's been lit up in me since, you know, obviously me and Chriselle have been in the tabloids and how much hate I've got from like this side of the world, not understanding what that is. So there's definitely a fire in me that really wants to educate and like teach people what being non-binary actually is. So there's definitely that part that I want as part of my career and legacy, is that, you know, when you look back in like non-binary history, like it would be like a dream to be a part of that, to say like I helped educate the world on what that exactly is. I'm gonna do that, and I strive to do that.
I know you've been working on a bunch of music. Do you have an album like ready to go, or are you still in recording mode? Like, what can we expect from you music wise
I'm still writing and recording. The next, going back to Australia, then I'm coming back, spending a whole month trying to get my massive pile of songs and make it a little bit shorter to make a body of work and put an album together. So, yeah, I am working towards an album, and it's just, you know, trying to get the last best songs out of me and then piling them together to make a cute little package.
Yeah. Are you going to tour before you have that out? Like, can people come see you soon, or are you going to chill, finish up in the studio, then tour?
For the rest of the year, I've got lots of festivals all around Australia, so a lot of coming back and forth. So far for the rest of the year, I think I have a few scattered shows around the US. I've got a festival in Mexico. Some things are in talks in the works, but no like actual headline tours yet.
Album.
That might be something around album time, but you never know. Yeah. Shit works fast these days, and things are always changing. Someone might call me and be like, hey, do you want to support me on this tour? And I'll be like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Oh yeah, you were on tour with Fletcher for a while. How did that go?
I was on tour with Fletcher, and it was probably one of the best tours I've ever been on, and I had maybe the most fun of my whole entire life. It was the best, and Carrie's amazing. Carrie's the best, and their whole crew and whole team. We just had too much fun, and it was so – we were all, like, crying when we had to leave. We didn't want to leave each other, and it was just, like, it was awesome. It was one of the best times of my life.
What would you say your best memory from that tour is? If you had to pick one.
Oh, my best memory from that tour. Wow. Probably the last night we had. We had a big party after, and it was our last night. It was really fun. And Carrie bought me this cake that, like, had all my favorite things on it. Like, that went back into my, like, childhood. Like, and then, like, photos of me and Carrie and, like Lightning McQueen and all these, like, all these crazy things. And it was, like, coolest cake I've ever got that was so, like, personal. And then, yeah, that last night was just, like, awesome and just so much fun. And, like, yeah, never forget it.
Love that. Okay, so I have one more question for you. I ask everybody this. It's, like, how to wrap shit up. If you could have your dream creation zone, that it literally, there are no limits. You could be under the water. You could be on a different planet. The room could be made of fog, like whatever. What would be your dream creative space?
Oh my gosh. This is a great question. Okay. Well, okay. I would have like a warehouse. Like huge warehouse, and then I'd have like a skate bowl and like a real life Lightning McQueen car and like all these low rider bikes. I just got a low rider bike today. I got sent one, and then like sick lights and paintings everywhere, and like a disco ball that comes down from the ceiling when you clap, and like
nice.
Like. Karaoke machines, and like I'd have the biggest studio. Like you leave the warehouse area. Oh, I'd also have all these sick cars, like a 1966 Mustang coupe, and like fire. A G-Wagon, and like all these hectic cars. And then kind of reminds me of, you know, that there was that TV show on MTV, Rob and Big.
Yeah,
Rob, the skateboarder Rob.
Yeah, Rob Dyrdek. Yeah.
And he had this.
Yeah,
had this big warehouse. It was like so cool. And then we'll have a studio, but we got to think of a cool way to get down to the studio. I'm thinking like a fire human's pole.
Mm-hmm.
Go down a hole.
Yeah,
and then you're in the studio, and it's like low lit and like has like luminous like blue lights. And there's like a drum room that has like legit. Fucking 50 drum kits and like 50 different snare drums, and there's 3 or 4 drum kits set up. I'm going into hectic detail.
No,
then
I love
there's
this.
A guitar wall, all these guitars, and like a fucking really good collection of guitars, and they go down in order of like year. So like all my vintage, like my oldest guitar is like 72, but like a whole guitar wall, a bass wall. Synth walls,
wow,
like hectic, and then like a whole production suite, and there's like random bowls of Skittles everywhere.
Skittles,
and then
okay,
also, but sometimes you don't want to be making music when it's too dark all the time, so there's these random like pop up windows that you can just like, I don't know,
like skylights, like,
clap. I would clap, but I have a broken hand. Yeah, and they open up, and then you're like, or maybe it lifts up, and it becomes like a rooftop studio.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, really hectic.
I think that's the.
There's
vibe.
Always tacos. You can always get fresh tacos at any time, and Lauren Sanderson is always around. She never leaves.
What? She just lives. She exists there at 24/7.
Yeah, no Lauren Sanderson never leaves, is always around. And everyone like has the best time. There's like, this sounds like I'm drugging people, but there's like gas, gas that makes everyone just happy as fuck. That sounds a bit too hectic. That sounds like I'm drugging people. Scrap that one. Scrap that one.
They can consent to it. They can consent to it.
And there's a grand piano that's white, and it's just like the most lit space. It's sick. And there's like water coolers everywhere. So if you need a chill drink, there's one right there to your left. There's one there to your right. And there's PlayStation 1 this. And 2 maybe. And
oh, wow.
And there's a pool table. Yeah. Okay. I could keep going, but we're going to wrap that up.
I mean, that sounds pretty solid. That sounds pretty solid. I love that. That sounds like the best studio slash hang slash work slash whatever space. That's probably the best answer I've gotten so far on the show. I'm not going to lie. So thank you for that one.
your question was so open. Like, you could just, like, go hectic. Like, that was your dream creative space. Like, well, fuck that. All right, let's hit it. Yeah, okay, cool.
It's like, I love asking that one because everyone's got completely different answers. Like, so wild. And, like, you ask an artist what their dream creation is, like, they're going to give you some crazy shit. So that's, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of all I got for you. But do you have any final thoughts, words, messages you want to leave everyone off with?
Thank you for listening to me talk for a while. And if you don't know who I am, please check out my stuff. And I hope you're having a ripper day. And hopefully one time we run into each other on the street and say hi.
I love ripper day. That's so cute. I've never heard that one. I love that. Oh, well, thank you so much. This was amazing. I'm psyched. I'm psyched we got to do this. So thank you.
I'm psyched as well.